Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Genealogy. V boju s patriarhalnim stanjem uma. V današnji južni hemisferi se bomo premaknili na Bližnji vzhod, natančneje v kurdski kanton Rojava. Prav tja, kjer so neustrašne in okrutne poslance islamske države premagale klene ženske. Organizirane, zavedajoče svoje vloge v družbi, ustrajno bijejo socialno revolucijo. Skozi preopraševanje odnosov med biti različnega spola, s puškami v rokah, ves čas nihajo med utopijo in realizmom. Kako so organizirani in kakšna je vloga ženske znotraj skupnosti, smo povprašali kurdsko aktivistko Dilar Dirik.
Whereas the line of the PKK, the Kurdistan Workers Party, is in favor of working for a system that does not accept the nation-state system of the world, that is not based on capitalism and also patriarchy. So this is also the ideology that the people that are fighting in Rojava, and in Kobani included, have adopted, and they call this system, this alternative to the dominant order, democratic confederalism, which is based explicitly on women's liberation, on ecology and grassroots direct democracy, in cooperation with different ethnic and religious groups. So we see that apart from the war in Rojava, what the social model, the model of political organization that they have followed, goes with this model of democratic confederalism, which means that people basically make their decisions based on the grassroots level in the form of people's councils that can reach from the local neighborhood commune level to city to village level, etc. So it is this direct decision making by the people that has been this kind of alternative to it, and principles such as women's liberation have been core of it. So this has from the beginning been a principle that was never compromised, and that also in turn slowly caused a change in the mentality of the people, that a different society is possible. And also with the increasing war in which women have taken up arms, this has also legitimized their role in society, because it's a very conservative, very feudal and patriarchal society. So these actions have caused a radical change in the people's perception. So the special situation which they find themselves, the Kurds in Syria, in Rojava, has also to do with the ways in which they wanted to organize themselves, as you have pointed out. The giving power to the people rather than appealing to the dominant order and waiting for their approval before doing something, that was not the case with them. From the beginning, they never trusted anyone and did their own defense, their own decision-making. They declared the cantons, indeed, while they were excluded from major conferences, such as the Geneva II conference. So this non-reliance on the dominant order, the self-sustainability, the relying on one's own strength, that is what has given the people in Rojava this strength to sustain themselves, because they were organized, and that is the most important thing. People being collectively politicized and mobilized and organized, that is why they were so well able to coordinate a defense against Islamic State, because they at the same time create a new system, an alternative system to what exists in the current Middle East. So that's why people have this strength and this will to resist to begin with, because you've seen in other places the Islamic State was able to just take over within days, whereas Kobani resisted for 135 days, I think it was. So that's why it's important to raise the people's consciousness and politicize them, and along with that come principles such as women's liberation, on which there will never be a compromise. And I think that was the strength of the Rojava revolution and the victory of Kobani.
And Njihovo dojemanje vloge ženske pa ni bilo takšno od nekdaj. Razvilo se je postopoma, s prepoznavanjem pomena feminizma ter z velikim poudarkom na izobraževanju, kjer so celo uvedli poseben učni program za ženske, imenovan Genealogy. Kaj pomeni sam koncept in kako zgleda takšno izobraževanje v praksi, nam pove Dilar.
So basically the assumption that lies at the core of genealogy. Genealogy, gen means woman in Kurdish, and genealogy is the science or the wisdom of women. So at the core of this is the fact that women have never been able to write their own history. They have systematically been excluded from history and also from the social sciences, because the social sciences, even though they were supposed to educate ourselves us on how society works, what are the mechanisms of society, the methods of social sciences have often contributed to sexism, to racism, to the legitimization of capitalism and so on, and colonization as well. So in that sense, genealogy tries to redraw the premises of social sciences by also insisting on that social sciences should not just serve to explain and categorize what we see in society without questioning it, but rather social sciences should also work towards liberating society, because many times social sciences have ignored the fact that society itself is dynamic and individuals can be studied, but they also think they also have the ability to study themselves and also act. So in that sense, I think the emphasis on genealogy was to create an alternative to the dominant social sciences, which often were used to legitimize different forms of oppression. So in practice, what this looks like is that another important thing about this is that it is important for all of society to be educated, and educated does not necessarily mean that you have a university diploma, but that you are conscious, that you are politicized, that you are aware of what is happening around you, and that you are able to change your terms of existence. So that's why the aim of genealogy was to be some kind of mobilization form for oppressed people, specifically for women, but not just for women, but for society as a whole. So in practice, there's different people's and specifically autonomous women's academies that have been formed, not just in Rojava. This has been begun, I think, in 2011 inside Turkey first. So anyone was able to be a teacher, but also a student at this academy, because this hierarchy between teacher and student is also questioned, because we should not just... Because the point about this is that specifically women of all ages have different kinds of wisdoms, of different kinds of experiences and knowledges that they should share with everyone. So in that sense, it's not the typical hierarchical teacher-student and strict classroom environment, but it's more of a conversation. Women's academies specifically are often run by women for women, and there are several of them, and unfortunately in Turkey, these academies have been criminalized because they were seen as separation from the Turkish state. In Rojava, there's also many different academies, some of which have specializations such as economy and so on, but there's many women's autonomous academies in which they engage in conversations using the new methods proposed by genealogy, which are based on, again, Abdullah Öcalan, the leader of the PKK's ideas and his theories, that he said the social sciences need to become a sociology of freedom, in which the oppressed people, specifically women, can contribute to their own generation of wisdom and knowledge production and reproduction. It's not just about understanding and explaining, but also how can we solve social problems. And that's, I think, the core of genealogy and the academies that are more and more developing in Rojava right now.
Povprašali smo jo tudi, ali je potem takem takšna univerza namenjena izključno ženskam, saj bi to pomenilo segregacijo zgolj z druge strani pola, ne pa emancipacije in združevanja.
Not only. Many times, most of them are for women, because the argument is that women specifically need to raise their political consciousness, because they have just been excluded completely from knowledge production. There's a specific critique of the modern social sciences that use sexism to legitimize themselves. But there's also seminars that are for men, in order to educate men on these issues, but also mixed conversations and so on. So it's not just for women, but most of them are for women. Yeah. Generally, we would still be completely naive if we said that everything in Kurdish society has changed in favor of women. That's not true, because there's still a lot of violence against women. There's still a lot of, rape specifically, honor killings, underage marriage, etc. So it's far from being perfect. There's still a long, long road to go. However, there is definitely a clear shift on what is acceptable and what isn't. So the liberation movement has changed what society looks like, and specifically how society treats women. And this did not just start on one specific day, but we can say that the decades-long struggle of the Kurdish liberation movement, and specifically the theories of Abdullah Öcalan, the leader of the ideological representative of the PKK, have contributed to it. Because when you read his writings, he explicitly calls out for women's liberation. That's one of his basic claims. At the core of his ideology is women's liberation. And you simply do not see this in other national liberationist contexts, because nationalism is often very gendered and sexed. So, but at the same time, Kurdish society, some would argue, has always been a bit more emancipated than other women in the region. But I think there's not really much reason to believe that, because the patriarchy in Kurdish society is extremely violent, and it would be very naive to suggest that it was more feminist than other societies. I simply don't think it's true. But what is true is that this political mobilization and political ideology have slowly, gradually changed the mentality of society. Because, for example, people that are my age or slightly older, and definitely everyone that is younger than me, they have grown up seeing women, Kurdish women that are fighting against the Turkish state in the Kandil Mountains. Seeing this, growing up with this, whether or not you like this movement or not, definitely does something with your consciousness. I think that at least you know that women can do other things other than being mothers and working at home only. So this definitely expanded the horizon of many people, I think, this armed struggle. Whether one likes it or not, I think it definitely contributed to how women are perceived in society, because armed struggle of women is a taboo everywhere in the world. It's completely seen as a shock, as a break with tradition. So in that sense, I think this gradual development in the last couple of decades, but specifically I think this resistance in Kobani has once again created a new momentum. And ever since, we have seen the women's movement and its different organs and autonomous institutions have taken more active steps towards political and autonomous organization. And I think this has also resonated with other struggling women around the world, specifically with women in the Middle East, so that they are also encouraged that a different life is possible. And I think, there's not one date on which we can pin it.
Diken arka mahlede düştüm de yerlere bir of demedim. Kurşunlara gelirken arka mahlede düştüm de yerlere bir of demedim. Başıma neler geldi sana diyemedim benim. kaç kere dövdüler, adını söylemedim. Başıma neler geldi, sana diyemedim. Beni kaç kere vurdular, adını söylemedim. Of, 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 yıkılsın evim. Ağladım, gözyaşlarım döndü denize. Yine de bu yangını söndüremedim. Bağıra bağıra yazdım seni içime. Bir kez olsun yüzünü güldüremedim. Bağıra bağıra yazdım seni içime. Bir kez olsun yüzünü güldüremedim. Başıma neler geldi, sana diyemedim. Beni kaç kere dövdüler, adını söylemedim. Başıma neler geldi, sana diyemedim. Beni kaç kere vurdular, adını söylemedim. Of, 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 yıkılsın evim.
V medijih, posebej v zahodnih medijih množičnega diskurza, so kurdske ženske velikokrat prikazane senzacionalistično. Namreč kot prave neustrašne borke, ki zasedajo enakopraven položaj v družbi. Toda dejstvo je, da so to zgolj naše nekoliko bizarne orientalske projekcije, zaradi katerih jih pretirano glorificiramo.
A weird kind of perception of struggling women in Kurdistan. They are fighting against a system that has explicitly called for the systematic destruction and murder and rape and slavery of women. So these are two completely opposite systems. So, and them fighting against this, of course, many women specifically are very happy about the situation. But it is important to pay attention to how we draw this discourse, because if we laugh at the Islamic State and say, oh, look, you're beaten by women, that's not good. I mean, that's very problematic to shame them because they're beaten by women, because that's the classical kindergarten logic. Men shouldn't cry when women beat them and something like that. So that's problematic on one hand. And secondly, this glorifying comes with the exclusion of these women's political aims. I think it's unfair to these women to glorify their armed struggle only and leave it at that, because they don't just fight against the Islamic State. Their fight is much larger than that. They have been struggling before there was the Islamic State, and they will continue beyond it because they radically want to change their society. They want to change the system in which we live in, starting from the Middle East. So in that sense, glorifying on one hand, but just picking and selecting the positive points, the ones that fit our interests, that's not good. I mean, I read one article that really shocked me, and I actually really upset me, because it was the CNN article in which the author, I think American woman, she said the women in Kobani are fighting to send us, the West, a message. They want the West to know that they fight for our principles. But that's simply not true. I mean, the women there have better things to do than sending a message to the West. These women criticize the West in many ways. They criticize the nation-state capitalist system. They criticize the imperialism that has caused this destruction of war to begin with. They criticize the foreign policies of these states such as America. So these women do not fight for, you know, so that later on McDonald's and Starbucks can be opened there. No, this is not about Western ideals, because democracy, freedom, you cannot just say that they're Western ideals, because that's a very chauvinistic thing to say, as if only people in the West can be free, and it's a Western, everyone that is democratic, everyone that is a good person is according to Western principles. That's very racist thing to say, I think. So in that sense, do you see what I mean? They are picking the good things about these women's struggle, but they completely ignore the political reasons behind it. But on the other hand, a couple of years ago, nobody knew about the Kurdish women's struggle. So at least it's good that people know about it.
Po zmagi v Kobaneju se rožavska revolucija nadaljuje. Tamkajšnji ljudje se ne borijo zgolj proti zunanjemu sovražniku, ampak si prizadevajo ustvarjati tudi kvalitetno socialno življenje znotraj svoje skupnosti. Zmaga nad islamskimi borci je namreč odprla veliko vprašanj ter dilem o nadaljnem načinu organizacije. Soočati se bodo primorani z več izzivi, ki nam jih v odgovoru naniza Dilar.
One of the key challenges of the women in Rojava is that patriarchy is a very old system. It's more than 5,000 years old. So overcoming it is not a matter of a few years. They still resonate with many people there. So even though the women have taken up arms in fight against ISIS and have also managed to change what it means to be a woman in Rojava, there are still many challenges ahead, and one of the key issues is the society overcoming its patriarchal mentality. One of the people who are in the Jizre Canton administration, they have told me that there has been a report on violence against women in Rojava, and they noticed that compared to the last year, it actually increased, which sounds very surprising considering that women have made so many achievements. But that can mean two things. It can mean that many men are not happy with these achievements, and they fight back through violence against women, specifically through domestic violence, in order to keep women under their control. But on the other hand, this could also mean that more women feel empowered enough to report this sort of violence, that they are more outspoken about it, and they are no longer ashamed or afraid to speak about violence. But that's one very interesting issue. On the other hand, generally, the war in general is, of course, a challenge to all of society, but it disproportionately impacts women. Coping with displacement is another issue at the refugee camps, for example, specifically. And many women have lost their male family members, which also puts them in a very vulnerable position in a very conservative patriarchal society. These are all very important issues that the women's movement needs to tackle, this kind of mentality. For example, many women who have been raped by Islamic State fighters or have been subject to violence, sexualized violence, afterwards, when they were able to rescue, some of their family members wanted to kill them, an honor killing. So that's why the women had to protect these women as well. So imagine you run away from ISIS and then your family wants to kill you because you have been raped. So these are all very real issues. That's why the women's movement, specifically in Rojava, never tries to idealize anything. Even though there have been so many achievements, even though women have been taking up arms. That's why we constantly say the fight is not over. The real fight starts in the society. And another issue is solidarity among different women. For example, many Assyrian women are engaging in this system in Rojava, and they have established their own women's organizations and unions and communes, etc. And they are doing this in coordination with Kurdish women. Same goes for Arab women, but one of the difficulties is to reach out to Arab women because of the situation of the war, the mistrust among communities, which has been fueled by both the regime as well as ISIS. So that's why people do not trust each other very well. And sometimes people are not very open to these ideas of democratic confederalism or about women's liberation and so on, so etc. So we try to give them the tools so that they can empower themselves. We do not want to impose our doctrine on anyone. And a third challenge, I would say, is that Well, right now it's a war and conflict situation, which in many cases around the world, these kinds of situations, these transitional periods, often give women some room to make changes, to assert themselves, to take part in the revolution, in the movement, etc. But very often they're forgotten afterwards. So one of the key challenges that women in Rojava face is how do we guarantee that the status that we have gained now will not be taken away.
Demokratični konfederalizem, kot ga poznajo Kurdi, ki se zoprstavljajo političnim pritiskom Turške in drugih vlad, temelji na enakopravnosti, demokratičnosti ter ekološkem delovanju kooperativ, v kateri proizvedajo večino za življenje potrebnih surovin in izdelkov. O ekonomski alternativi, ki so jo Kurdi razvili v namen zoprstavljanja političnim pritiskom Turške vlade, pove Dilar.
In terms of the economic system that is trying to be implemented in Rojava, it's based also on the system of democratic confederalism, but enrich the resources that we have. How can we share the resources equally without exploiting them? How can we make sure that we have a sustainable ecological society? And that's always portrayed in opposition to what the people of democratic confederalism call capitalist modernity, has taken a very capitalist form, which means that we now see endless environmental destruction, scientific gains that actually destroy nature and human beings and society and cause wars, etc. So how can we make use of our knowledge, of our science, of the environment in a way that will benefit the community rather than creating new problems, creating new social problems? So under that, behind this ideological background lies the fact that in order to have an alternative and more democratic society, an inclusive society, the economy depends, everything depends on the economy in that sense, because the way your economy looks will determine how your society looks. And that's why the emphasis right now in Rojava is on cooperatives, for example, farming cooperatives, living cooperatives, textile cooperatives, working cooperatives, and so on. So, and of course, we have to keep in mind that there is a war in that region, and there's also an embargo, which means that people there, including thousands of refugees who have been displaced and have come to Rojava, need to be fed and they need water and clothes, etc. So that's why the entire economy in Rojava right now, not so much in Kobani because Kobani is almost fully destroyed, but for example in the Jizire canton, the one that is east to Kobani, the people are leading a war economy and also a survival economy, and they try to do that in spite of the embargo. What does that mean? That means they have, for example, with the limited tools that they have, built a mill, and the bread of the whole canton depends on this mill. And there's food ratios, for example, for people because of the war. They cannot make sure that everyone gets food. That's why they distributed for everyone so that nobody has to starve. And then there's different farming cooperatives that have been started, because prior to this, the lands of that canton, for example, 40% of it were owned by the state and the rest were private. They have started reforms and they have now redistributed it, and now they are using it for the whole canton, to sustain the whole canton. And they also resort to changes that do not rely on money, but rather on the exchange of goods. Women have their autonomous cooperatives as well. They can establish their own cooperatives. For example, they have many textile and farming cooperatives specifically. Basically, they receive some aid from the canton, and then they are able to start a cooperative, and then they get the money, the things that they make and produce. The economy is also grassroots, and it's capitalism simply, we can say, almost doesn't exist there because of the embargo and because of the fact that many of the rich people have actually left Syria. So that's why a challenge is that how can we make sure that no new class divisions and contradictions start, and how can we make sure that this economy is really sustainable? because it's only sustainable right now because most people work without money. They all volunteer. These economic principles, they have many economic academies and so on, and they have very idealistic visions of the economy, but the reality is that there's war, there are constant attacks, and there's the embargo. That's why everything, absolutely everything, is restricted by that, which is why we can say that there is no real implementation of these ideals, not so much as they would like to have it. But they're trying their best, and people are somehow... So the emphasis is that we do not rely, just similar parallel to its politics, non-reliance on outside or larger forces, but empowering the grassroots, and specifically women, because economic independence of women is key to their emancipation as well, because many times women are restricted in their lives because they economically depend on their family, on their husband, etc., or they don't have the same working conditions. So that's another thing that the people there are fighting against. They are trying to include the women actively in the economy.
Kurdi nam s svojim organiziranjem in načinom mišljenja ne želijo podati nikakršnega posebnega in mističnega sporočila, temveč podaja sistematično kritiko patriarhalne družbe in produkcijskih odnosov, v katerih živimo. Na svoj vrsten način rojen v marginalizaciji in pod pritiski političnih vodij držav, med katerimi porazdeljeno živijo, nam kaže, da je mogoče razmišljati drugače ter skupaj stopiti v akcijo. Kurdske boje je raziskovala Erika.
Globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Nešto novo, nešto divlje, student radio.